All right, amen. Thank you. I just gonna have a word of prayer. Lord, I just pray you bless today's message and bless your people, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So I want to go ahead and focus a little bit on Galatians. We went through this book about late last year. And I want to go ahead and kind of retouch upon it, go through it again, but in a different kind of way. You know, we did verse by verse study, but, you know, so we're just going to go through the book, you know, and I'm going to just talk about what I want to talk about this book, and you follow along. But starting in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father raised him from the dead. So I just want to stop right there and just talk a little bit here about Paul's apostleship and his authority. If you notice in Paul's letters, he's always defending his authority, his apostleship, and I believe this is his thorn in the flesh. Even today, people attack his authority. They attack his apostleship, treat him as a lesser an apostle, okay? And we see it when Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh, there was a measure of Satan always after him, right? And, you know, of course, Lord, you know, he begged God to deliver him from this thorn, but God said, no, my grace is sufficient, you know, for this. So even today, you know, there's a movement online called the Jesus Words Movement, and what they believe is basically that Paul is a false apostle and, you know, it goes against Jesus. And this is what the early Jewish Christians did in Jerusalem, right? When Paul got saved and started preaching his gospel to the Gentiles, well, that caused some Jews who did believe in Jesus very upset. And this is what was happening. They were attacking Paul's authority, his apostleship, and his message that he was teaching. Look at verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Paul starts off with grace and peace, this should be comfort to you. Grace, which brings forgiveness of sins, right? And peace is for our conscience. So when Paul starts off, this is very comforting to the people in Galatia. Grace and peace. Who gave himself for our sins, they might deliver from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the present evil world, the present evil age. Some translations will say age, some will say world. But what is Paul referring to here? What is he talking about? What world, what age is he referring to? And I believe he's talking about the religious age, the religious world, right? This world by nature is very legalistic, very self-righteous, full of envy, murder. I mean, people are very self-righteous today, amen. Whether it's atheists or believers or non-believers, everyone's just very self-righteous. And I think that's the present evil age, the religious world. That's the evil world that we live in today. This world's drowning conditionalism. Love's conditional. Friendship's conditional. Everything's drowning conditionalism. It's very rare to find people who deal with absolutes, amen. But you know what? God deals in absolutes. But he died to deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of the Father, through the will of God and our Father, amen. To whom we glory forever, amen. So amen. You know, so when Christ died, I mean, he died to rescue us from this religious world, from this bondage, from this guilt, from the shame of that same cycle. Right? Being under men, he died to deliver us from that. Starting in verse 6 here, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, he goes on to say, which is not another. So these Jewish believers, now you, the most basic view of Galatians is, oh, it's just time of going to heaven when you die. Right? But notice what Paul says. They're not speaking another way of salvation. They're perverting the gospel that they already received. Right, they're perverting the gospel that they already received from God or from Paul, and Paul received his gospel from God. So I had to turn some avatars off. I'm lagging a little bit. Just one second. All right. So they're troubling you. They're perverting this message. And what did the Jews who came to Galatia were teaching? Well, yeah, you believe in Jesus, you're saved. But if you want God's favor, if you want God's blessing, well, you got to get circumcised. Now, back in about circumcision. But then about today, though, right? Church will say, yeah, okay, you're saved by grace through faith. But if you want God's blessing in your life or favor in your life, we got to live a certain way. You got to do X, Y, and Z, right? So it's basing on what you do, right? So back then, it was about circumcision. But today, it can be anything. Oh, if you want God's favor, come to church. When God's blessings, come to church or whatever it might be. So they were perverting the true gospel that Paul preached, which, listen, you're not just saved when you believe, but you're standing in God's favor. You see that in Romans 5:1? We're standing in his presence. We're standing in his good graces. We're our aromas of Christ, meaning God delights in us, right? God smells Christ on us. God sees us in Christ. So they're perverting the true gospel here, but they were thinking, oh, well, yeah, you believe in Jesus as a Messiah, but if you get circumcised, well, God will bless you. So they're perverting this truth. And Paul says, listen, I marveled that you're being removed from this. You know, I came to you, and he says in Galatians 4, hey, you know, you would have plagued out your eyes for me. You received me as an angel from God. And so he's like, I'm shocked that you're removing from the mess that I told you. And you know, he goes on to clarify his authority. He says, I received my gospel not from these, you know, other apostles. Now, I wasn't taught it by them. No, Peter didn't teach me. James didn't teach me. John didn't teach me. I received it from Jesus Christ. Go to jump down to verse 11 where Paul says right here, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. In other words, I taught it or I received it by a revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, listen, you would, you know, and you would pluck out your eyes for me, cut off your hands for me. You receive me as an angel. So I'm shocked I'd be removed from this message. And even to this day, we have people who come into our church and they'll hear the gospel, they'll believe it, they'll get saved, and they'll grow in their understanding of who they are in Christ. But then, like, you know, I'll tell you a story. Like, we had a brother, okay, Brother Window. I mean, this guy was, I mean, full of grace. Okay, you talk to him. I mean, he was really grounded in the message. He was, I mean, he could have spoke on hours of God's love, of God's grace. Well, you know what happened? He broke up with his girlfriend, and he was very depressed. Right? And keep this in mind, our church was always open. We had a fellowship, we had gatherings, we had services. I mean, we're always open. We're never without service or without fellowship. We were always here. Okay. He never showed up, but he left our church to go back to his apostate church because he missed physical touch and physical fellowship. And now he's a blown out workspace salvationist. There was one point where this guy was very grounded, but now he's a workspace salvationist. Now he's apostated. Now, I believe he's still saved, amen. If one were faithless, God is still faithful, praise the Lord. But I mean, this shows you how easy it is to get bewitched. And Paul warns us in Galatians, "Are you who bewitched you? Right? Who deceived you?" And bewitch is like witchcraft. And I mean, religious witchcraft, it's very subtle. Right? Very subtle. You know, they can sound spiritual, they can sound nice. But man, when it puts you back under bondage, run away from that. You know, and that's how religion is today. They use this religious witchcraft. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I love you. Of course, God loves you. And then they hook you with the law when you go to church. Bondage, guilt, shame, constant fear, doubt. Right? And that's the curse of the workspace mindset. I mean, look at these people who believe in this workspace God. You know, misery loves company. When we talk to these people who have a workspace gospel, I mean, there's this guy online, about 20,000 subs, and, you know, he has his false gospel of works, and he's miserable. I mean, he looked depressed. I mean, he looks miserable. And, you know, and there's days where he's condemning people, telling them that they live a righteous life to be saved. And then he's making videos, breaking in tears. I'm trying to be righteous, but I can't. I keep sinning. Well, because that's what the law reveals. The works of the law shows that no one can be justified by it. It's impossible to keep. But I mean, it's crazy how people can hear the gospel and just get removed from quickly. It happens. You know, it happens. Religious witchcraft, circumstances, all that. But anyway, let's continue reading here. So I'm in verse 8. Go back to verse 8 where Paul says, But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, let him be a curse. Right? So Paul's, listen, I don't care who these people are. Right? And he sees that in Galatians too. He's out, these people add nothing to my faith. He's, I don't care if it's James, John, or Peter. They add nothing to my faith. If any man is preaching any other gospel than I preach to you, let them be a curse. Let them be damned. Now, of course, I don't think he's talking about hell here. I mean, I think the curse that he's talking about here is the curse of the law. Right? They're going to pervert the gospel and go back to the law. Let them be under that curse then. And what's the curse of the law? Death, condemnation, guilt, shame. Let them be under that curse. I say again, if it's an angel from heaven, let them be a curse. Right? If anyone is preaching another gospel, let them be accursed. Of course, we have the one true gospel, amen. The true gospel that says we're justified by faith, apart from the law. But not just, and we talk about this, but this secures everything. Justification secures everything. Not just salvation, but Christian living. We live by faith. We're dead to the law, live unto God. We rest in our inheritance, which is Christ himself. We learn and live from that, amen, resting in that. Justification secures that. So when we have people perverting this, Paul says, let them be accursed. Let them be damned. Let them fall in their guilt of shame and bondage. Don't even talk to them. You know, John says, don't Godspeed them. Don't God bless them. Don't be partaker of their evil deeds, which is unbelief. Don't be partakers of that. You know, I was on a walk. Mormons came. They were in my neighborhood, and they were knocking on doors, and I was walking. I was talking to Brother Guts, and we're on the phone, and these Mormons came by to try and talk to me. I said, hold on. I said, shut up. Let you be damned for preaching a false gospel, because I don't want to talk to you. Get the hell out of here. And I walked away. I'm not wasting my time. They say, oh, God bless you. I say, may God curse you for preaching your false gospel works and leading people astray. I say, that's harsh. Yeah, it could be. But, you know, John says, don't God bless them. Right? Paul says, let them be a curse. I'm not going to waste my time. Now, of course, I want them to get saved. Sure, but they're not going to talk to you. These people don't want to repent, change their mind. I mean, most of the time, debating is worthless because they're already persuading their own mind. Or you're not going to convince them. You can plant a seed, but really it's God who grants repentance, right? So, anyway, look at verse 10. Now, do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, should I be the servant of Christ? Of course, Paul was accused of, when he was preaching this message of grace and our freedom from the law, he was accused of just trying to please men, trying to be favor of men. That was one of Paul's accusations. We kind of see that in Romans 3 where they accuse Paul of teaching a license to sin. Same thing in Jude 1 where it says, you know, these ungodly men turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, what does that mean? Turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, verse 11 says they've gone the way of Cain, right? The way of Cain is approaching God based off your work. So the Judaizers called God's grace evil. The word turn there from the Greek means to exchange or remove. They removed God's grace and they were calling it evil. Right? The Jews were calling God's grace evil. They were turning into lasciviousness, calling it evil, calling it sin, and replacing it with works. So that's what it means to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, meaning you're removing grace and calling it evil. And that's what the Jews were doing, or calling Paul's message, calling it just to please men, a license to sin, it's evil, whatever. And Paul's defending, he's listen, hey, you know, I'm not persuade men. I'm not here to, you know, seek to please men. If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And yet even the grace community, I mean, Brother Spooky, you know, about a year ago, we had a falling out with a grace community where, I mean, they're one of the main people there were backloading works into the gospel, teaching a false, you know, basically a false gospel, in our opinion, of this continued belief garbage. And I mean, it was a big falling out. And even to this day, I mean, a sister in Christ showed us a DM where she left a comment on Brother's channel. And this guy who we knew, I debated, named Ronnie, was like, oh, you're listening to this witch, this woman, right? And I'm like, what, dude? She's telling the gospel here. And he was calling her a witch. And it's funny because on this guy's channel, you go to it. This guy's just in unbelief all the time, doubting his salvation. And you know what? The other church I was a part of kicked him out because he was spreading his wicked unbelief on everyone. And he wants to talk about correcting people. You can't even found assurance, buddy. It's not that hard. If you believe on the Son, you're saved. That's it. Period. But he's in constant unbelief and constant doubt, and then he's spreading it. Then he has the authority to attack a sister in Christ and say, well, you're just a witch. You're tossed on foe. You were. When I was the pastor of that church and I was running it, you know, they all agreed that if you stop believing, you're still saved. But some wicked, false prophet, fat-ass guy wants to come in and say, well, if you really stop believing, you're not saved. Let you be damned. Wicked. So, Paul, I'm not here to please men. You know, there's always tons of communities. I'm not here to be part of any community. Our church is independent. It always has been. I mean, when we first started our Grace Church back in 2023, after we left the Baptist community here, when we started it, all of the churches in our VR chat hated us. I mean, the first church on here was VR Memo Church, and you know, they had meetings with the other church on here about us. And we're not big. I mean, there's like, what, 10 people here? We're not big. We're not a big church. Okay? But they had meetings about us. Meetings and after meetings, oh, well, I'm worried about this church. And they just, I mean, a staff member from VR Meta Church came to me and said, hey, you know, they're sending people over here to watch what you're saying, what you're teaching. Trying people to get away. I mean, we're not that big. But I mean, it's always that people are just trying to please men. Whether it's online or here, they're always trying to please men. Oh, well, I want to be on his good grace. I'm going to do whatever he says. No, my friend, if it goes against biblical truth, mark and avoid. I don't mean to sound harsh or mean, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Paul, when it comes to the gospel, it has to be defended. No matter what. I mean, that's what we see in Galatians 2, right? I mean, he says, I don't care if it's Peter. I don't care if it's John. They added nothing to my faith. These people in Jerusalem added nothing to my faith. Nothing. And that's a big thing. You know, John, whom the Lord loved, Peter, who the Lord told to feed his sheep. I mean, this is a crazy thing. Paul says it means nothing to me. I don't care. And you know what? I'm glad Paul didn't care because you know what? Peter wasn't walking uprightly according to the gospel. It's funny how the Catholics worship Peter. Oh, he's the Pope. Oh, he's the one. And yet Paul said, I oppose him to, you know, Peter was a coward. Paul said, I oppose him to his face because he was to be blamed. When men from James came down, men from James, by the way, who came down and Peter compromised and like, oh, I'm not going to eat with the Gentiles. Oh, no. Paul said, what are you doing, bro? Because he was giving a mixed message. Are we saved by faith? Are we justified by faith? Or do we have to keep the law? Do the Gentiles have to keep the law, Peter? That's why Paul rebuked Peter. It was going off a mixed message. Hey, are we justified by faith or by works? What is it? So Paul rebuked Peter. I'm glad he did, amen. But all right, so go down here with me to chapter 2. Chapter 2, let's get into this a little bit. Chapter 2, starting here in verse 4, and it says, because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, came privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, and then they bring us into bondage. Right, and that's, I mean, that's a good message today, amen. I mean, there are many people out there who are trying to bring into bondage. And Peter talks about the second Peter, you know, these Judaizers, they're brute beasts. They can't cease from sin, right? And we see that in the institutional church. There's always sin consciousness, sin focus, sin. Not believing the Bible when it says sin's a dead issue. Christ finished it. Put away the sins at the sacrifice. Don't believe that. It's a constant reminder in these churches. And, you know, they promise you liberty. They promise you freedom, but they're served to corruption, Peter says. Because there's no freedom in those churches. There's no freedom and peace in the conscience. It's always bondage, guilt, and shame, right? So they come in, false brethren will come in, and they'll be subtle. And they bring you back under bondage of guilt and shame. Jump down here to verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for ever, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But these who seem to be somewhat, again, Paul is talking about how these people came down claiming authority from the Jerusalem apostles. Right? The Jews will say, hey, well, this is what John is saying. Peter agrees with us, Paul. John agrees with us, Paul. The 12 agrees with us, Paul. And that's what Paul says in response to that. But these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, make no matter to me. God accepteth no man's persons, for they who seem to be somewhat, in conference, added nothing to me. They add nothing to my faith, he says. Why do I care what they have to say? So Paul is saying, when Paul went to Jerusalem, it was for two reasons. He brought his guy Titus and his message. He said, listen, I want my revelation. God told me to go up here and do this. And he brought up his guys to see if the Jews there, what the Jerusalem church would accept Paul and what he's preaching. Now in Acts 15, I love Luke, and Luke kind of leaves it like, they agreed, right? But Paul gives a different story here. Paul says this, actually, right? Luke says in Acts, or in Acts, it says they split because of Mark. That's not what happened. Look what Paul says here. Verse 14, he says, when I saw, oh, right here, verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he did with the Gentiles. When they came, he withdrew, separate himself, fearing the social circumstances. And the other Jews dismantled likewise, and so much that Barnabas was away, carried their demonstration, and of course, that's just hypocrisy. So Barnabas and Paul split up, not because of Mark, but because Barnabas compromised. Barnabas was willing to put the Gentiles back under law. Barnabas was okay with Peter severing from the Gentiles. And Paul says, no, I'm not having that. So in Luke and Acts, Luke puts out that picture, they're all in harmony here. Oh, no, they just disagree over Mark. No, Paul says, no, he went away because of his hypocrisy. Okay? So this should show that, listen, no matter who it is, your foundation should be on Christ himself. Not some, some man, whatever he says. Christ himself. That should be your foundation. The gospel should be your foundation. Not what man says. Not even me. Listen, you might not agree with me, but if it goes against the clear gospel, I mean, I hope you rebuke me, If it goes against salvation by faith in Christ alone, hey, our freedom from law, if I ever compromise on that, rebuke me, run away from me. Right? But, so Paul, is standing his ground towards these people. And that's what we have to see here. When it comes to the gospel, it's a precious message. The proclamation is precious. We're not going to compromise on it. We're not going to, let people distort it and pervert it. Rebuke, right? Open rebuke is better than secret love. But anyway, let's see here. Okay, we're going for 19 minutes. But anyway, Paul says in Galatians 2, I want us to focus right here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even if you believed in Jesus Christ, then I'm not justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. Sorry for speaking for fast there. I speak way too fast. I watch my videos in 2x speed, so bear with me. So Paul says, we're not justified by works of the law. And what's the works of the law? Okay, and this is why repent of your sins is a false doctrine. Because what is sin? 1 John 3:4. Sin is what? Transgression of the law. It's breaking the law. So by telling people they have to turn from their sins to be saved, you're telling them to keep the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not murder, whatever it might be, right? And Paul says right here, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. So we're not justified by keeping the law, which is, again, turning from your sins, right? Well, don't lie, okay? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not be a false witness, whatever it might be. So repent of your sins is a false gospel. Now, repent is in the Bible. Don't get me wrong, I believe in repentance. But it's a change of mind. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, change one's mind. And the context what we see in salvation is always a change of mind from unbelief to belief. Right? Mark 1, repent and believe the gospel, right? The Jews had to change their mind and realize that Jesus is the Messiah. So if they believe that, they'll be entering the kingdom. Of course, they didn't though, right? God moved on. But repentance is not turning from sin. That's a false gospel. That's seeking righteousness from the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. We are justified apart from that. Paul goes on to say this in verse 17. But we seek to be justified by Christ, we are found ourselves to be sinners. It's therefore Christ, the minister of sin. God forbid, of course, this is an accusation towards Paul and his message. Look what Paul says here, though. If I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. Right? So, sin is transgression of the law. But where there's no law, there's no transgression. But you know what Paul is saying here? If I make up my own laws, right? And that's what we see with the Gentiles. That's how Gentiles are under sin. They did things, Romans 2, they did things containing the law of Moses. They make up their own laws. Touch not, taste not, handle not. So I build that again in my own mind, my own conscience. If I build that again, I make myself a transgressor, right? And we see that with the church today, right? They might not preach the Ten Commandments. Oh, we don't believe in law keeping, right? But then they preach what? Carnal ordinances. Colossians 2 talks about it, where they teach touch not, taste not. Oh, on Fridays, you can't eat meat. Or you can't eat this, you can't do this, you can't marry, whatever. They make up their own carnal ordinances, and these are contained in the law. So they're still preaching the law. They're making themselves a transgressor because they don't keep them themselves. If you rely on the works of the law, you're under the curse of it. Curses everyone that can do all things. And you ask these people who teach this repent of your sins garbage, have they stopped sinning? They'll say no. Of course not. Well, you're a hypocrite. You're not living to your own standards. And you're going around condemning other people. But you yourself don't, oh, well, I feel sorry over my sin. You know? So they think their feelings can buy them peace with God. They think their feelings, their inward sensations will somewhat, God will grant them some kind of favor. Sorry, my friend, God's not a respecter of persons. All have sinned and come short. There's none righteous, not one according to the law. You cannot be justified by the law. So Paul says, we know that person not justified by the works of the law. He goes on to say this. Matter of fact, we died to the law to live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this is where we agree with God's judgments here. Where we agree with the righteousness of the law. How did I? By agreeing that we're guilty. And that when Christ died, he crucified us. He judged our flesh. It profits nothing. All its lusts, its virtues, its afflictions has been crucified. God expects nothing from it. Nothing. So Paul said, listen, I crucified with him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I do now live in the flesh, in this body, is by faith. Faith in what? In the Son of God who loved me himself for me. Right? So we're saved by faith, and we live by faith. He goes on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ is then in vain. Right? So the gospel of grace, my friends, precious. Don't let people corrupt it. It's precious. And it's good news that sinners are made righteous, are made saints by faith, apart from anything they've done. Through his death, who? Christ's death. He has presented us holy, unblameable, unprovable in his sight. This is the good news of the gospel. We are righteous by faith, not by the works of the law. I got a little, you know, earlier when I began this, when I talk about this guy, the speaking to testify, about that great, these people are hypocrites, man. Who attacked his sister in Christ. And you know, it's funny how he was accusing this brother also being tossed to and fro with doctrine. But this guy, and like I said before, in my earliest church, when I first started the Grace Church, these people all agreed that if you stop believing, you're saved. They never changed. Never changed that belief, right? But you know, it was until this one guy, well, came out on YouTube, letting his position be made clear, what he believes about it, teaching it, and then everyone changed, they all changed their minds. Overnight. And this guy thinks he has the authority to attack this sister or that brother. I mean, these people are hypocrites, man. I mean, that guy is in constant doubt and constant guilt and shame. Instead of resting in the gospel. That Christ paid it all, man. But anyway, we're almost done here. So I want to focus in this lesson as we go through. This was more of like just a little fun preaching time. But anyway, Wednesday we'll continue off and I'll focus more on the Galatian era. What is the Galatian era? Because what we're seeing here is that the Galatian era isn't another way of salvation, but it's going back to the law for Christian living. Just real quick, go to Galatians chapter 3. Look what Paul says here. And we'll get this, into this Wednesday. He says, O foolish Galatians who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, but for whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently sent crucified among you. This only way I learned of you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you foolish, having begun in the Spirit, right? So you begun in the Spirit by faith. We receive the Spirit of God by faith. Are you now perfect in the flesh, he says? Are you being perfected in the flesh? Right, and that's what they were doing. They were going back to the law to perfect themselves. They were getting circumcised. They were observing the law because they thought by doing this, they'll get God's favor or blessings in their life. And Paul said, are you foolish? Who bewitched you with that? Because the gospel does not just secure our eternal destiny. No, the gospel secures everything. God's love, favor, blessings, all of it. It's all ours in Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All is ours, the Bible says. Everything. We're heirs of God. We're no longer servants, right? These people, Paul is saying, listen, you Galatians, you're going back to the law, living like servants. But do you not know that we're not servants? Christ was born under law to redeem those who are under the law so that we can receive adoptions. And God has sent forth his Spirit to your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Don't you see that you're complete now? Don't you see that you're loved now? Don't you see that you're accepted now? Don't you see that you're complete in Christ right now? Why are you going back to this? You fools, who bewitched you? Who deceived you into thinking this? So Wednesday, we get into that, more onto that. But I'm here with the gospel of grace. So when it comes to the proclamation, you know, Paul, they were attacking Paul's message, basically. I mean, they were attacking its authority. They're attacking him. And, you know, in Galatians, Paul is very loving here. I mean, out of all his epistles, he's more loving here, you know, like a father caring for his children, okay? But he was very aggressive. Tough love here. But the gospel, my friend, listen, it's precious. The fact that you know, it's not based on our behavior, on our works, what we do or don't do. And it's based on what he did on the cross. I mean, that's good news. So when anyone tries to pervert that, or whether it's backloading works into it, or changing it, or perverting it, how they were doing it by adding law for the Christian living, whatever it might be, Paul says, stand your ground. You know, Paul says, I'm not here to please men. You know, these accusations towards me means nothing to me. I received my gospel from the ascended Christ. He came to me in Revelation saying, this is the message, Paul, preach it. Paul says, in Galatians 1, he says, I confirm not with flesh and blood. I didn't go to the apostles to get confirmation from them. I went preaching. I went forth. That's what he did. So the proclamation of Paul here, he's on defense of it. Amen. We should be too. We shouldn't compromise this message. It's precious. It brings righteousness. It brings life. It brings joy. It brings peace. You know, we always get accused of like, oh, just live however you want. And it says, you already live how you want to live. You don't need my permission to do it. You do it just fine. But you know what? It's the gospel that brings joy. It's the gospel that brings peace in man's conscience. It's the gospel that brings love. But now the world that we live in is so fallen, so corrupt. It's not because of grace. It's because of the law. The Bible says in Romans 7, the law brings forth fruit unto death. The law works wrath. Hebrews 7 says it's weak and useless. In 1 Corinthians, it says it's the strength of sin. You see all these Protestants in their church, we need holiness, brother. And they're not preaching holiness. They're not preaching holiness because Christ himself is our holiness. Holiness only comes through him. We are made holy by faith in him. And holiness in the Christian walk is not your behavior control. It's seeing more of Christ. It's seeing the fact that Christ is summing all things up in him. That's seeing holiness in your Christian walk. It's seeing him in all things. Agreeing with the truth. And you're holy, not because you're good, because of Christ and his sacrifice. That's the good news. But the world's in chaos today, not because of the grace teachers. The world was in chaos before Martin Luther came around. The world was in chaos before all that.
It was a law that was bringing wrath. It brings forth fruit unto death. That's it. We should have been the rest. We should have churches teaching the gospel. The church is preaching the one true gospel. We should have people, shout on rooftops. But we didn't. Do you want to blame the grace of God? No, my friend, look at the law. It brings wrath. It's the one that brings forth fruit unto death. Paul says, I was alive once without the law. But when the law came, I died and sin revived. And that's also the funny thing with these people who teach repent of your sins. Because Paul says that when the law came, sin revived. And 1 Corinthians law is the strength of sin. So you're talking to these people who believe in turning from your sins or keeping the law. They're telling you to sin. Because the law is the strength of sin. The law brings forth fruit. It's weak and useless. It's all of it. They're the ones who are telling you to sin. But right, anyway, back to the main point. Pays more a little, this is me just speaking my mind here. Okay, back to the point, though. So Paul's revelation is important. Because it wasn't just how you're going to heaven when you die. It was, hey, Christ is in you as life now. He's your righteousness. He's your sanctification. He's your redemption. He's your life. He's all of that. And the goal of the Christian life is not overcoming sin, but growing in your understanding of what Christ accomplished and resting in that. And so when people attack this, that's why Paul is a little angry here in the first three chapters, right? He's frustrated, but you know what? What we see in chapter 4 and 5, it's more of a father kind of trying to nourish his children here, right? Paul says, I begot these people in the gospel. You know, there was one point where you cut off your hands for me. That I labored in vain among you. So anyway, just real quick before we end. So what is the gospel? The gospel is simple. It's not complicated. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. That's the good news. And when you believe that, you receive eternal life. Amen. Praise God. But the gospel didn't stop there. It's not just, oh, now you're saved. Now get to work. That's not, no. That's the perversion of the gospel that Paul's warning about. According to the scriptures. Yes, that refers to Isaiah 53 and all that stuff. But notice what Paul also says here, though. We're crucified with Christ. Amen. That's what the gospel reveals to us. We're crucified with Christ. We're now complete in Him. Now we live from Him. We live from our union with Him, not from ourselves, not from self-strength or self-reliance. We live from Him, resting in the gospel, resting in His love. When you read Paul's epistles, his main focus is your continued growth in Him, living within Him, from Him, not from yourself, from your strength. And that's all part of the gospel. That's what it reveals. You begun the Christian life by the gospel, and you continue in it the same way. You're saved by faith. You're going to heaven when you die, no matter what. But now you continue in resting in it. That's how we live the Christian life, by faith, not by law, not by rules, not by carnal ordinances or regulations or religious principles. We live by faith. Paul says the same thing in Colossians 2. So if you died with Christ, why are you subject to the principles of this world of touch not, taste not, heal not? And you go to churches, it's always subjective, right? There's a guy on here, Augie knows, that his name is Pork is a Sin, right? He's judging eating pork by the law. Right, so he makes his own law. Touch not, don't eat that, don't taste that. And he's subject to it. Paul calls that the weak elementary principles of this world. We died to that. All things are pure. All things are of God. All things are, we can receive all things with thanksgiving. There's no more, no condemnation. So that's what the gospel of Paul reveals. Our freedom from law, our freedom from guilt, our freedom from shame, bondage, all of it. And its foundation is not Paul himself, but Christ himself. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Ugh. Lord, we thank you for the message of grace, Lord, that declares us clean through faith, not by the works of the law. Lord, we thank you that we're crucified with Christ, that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Thank you, Lord, that any good we do is Christ in us, and that we can just rest in your love and grace for us and grow in that knowledge. Lord, I pray for the people here, Lord, that you just teach us these truths about who we are in Christ and who Christ is to us. Help us to rest in him, Lord. Help us not to look to our own self and our own strength, but rest in the gospel, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Thank you, Lord, that we lack nothing, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We thank you, Lord, that we're loved and accepting the beloved. Thank you, Lord, for the foundation of the world. You chose us in Christ to be holy without blame. Thank you, Lord, that we lack nothing as children of God. All things are ours. Unto us, all things are pure. Lord, I just pray you bless this series that we're starting here on Galatians. I pray you bless it going forward, Lord. I pray it's a blessing to the body of Christ and the people here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. Church is dismissed for fellowship.